Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's the Good News, right after this. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." That's at Article 1, Section 10. Now, in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away. And then in 1964, President Johnson took our silver coin out of circulation. And now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. They gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills. They gave us clad coinage in place of silver coins. And now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of our many lessons in our Mosaic Law School conducted twice a year here at the law school. Now, to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? Doesn't cost anything. This may not be for you. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. Now, you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Okay, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about good news here. Last week I gave you the bad news. And I told you about the Royal Bank of Scotland telling all of their clients, all of their customers, that they could expect a collapse, a general collapse in the world stock markets over the next 90 days. Now, that's, you know, if I said that, you know, that'd be George Gordon spouting off, and I don't have any special insight here. I'm guessing that probably the Royal Bank of Scotland, that's an insider bank, they probably have a better insight. They've probably got better information than I have, so I just report facts, and I reported that to you. Now, that's bad news. And I reported from several newsletters that I receive here that that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of bad news out there. Now, what I wanted to do this week was to show you that, hey, wait a minute, there's good news out there. For instance, the Great Depression of the 1930s produced hundreds of millionaires. People in the Great Depression of the 1930s got filthy rich, made a lot of money off of the misery, the suffering, and the agony of the poor guys that lost everything in the collapse of the stock market. But let me show you a little something as to why. In the Bible, God gives us some information, gives us some warnings. I look at the Bible as like roadside signs. You know, as you're driving down the highway, you'll see a sign that says slow to 35. Well, you know, most of us, when we're driving across the country, let's just take a ride. You know, so I'm going to leave Missouri, and I'm going to drive out to Reno, Nevada, and I'm going to drive down Highway 50. It's called the loneliest road in America. I've driven down that road a number of times, and so I'm pretty familiar with it. But let's suppose that you're driving down that road for the very first time. You've never been down that road before. And as you're driving along, you come to a sign and it says slow to 35. Now, what that is, somebody, it's the Department of Transportation or the Highway Department, whatever you call it in your state, they put up that sign because there's a sharp turn up ahead. Now, you're driving along at 60, 70 miles an hour, and here's a sign that says slow to 35. That's a warning sign. The warning sign gives you some advice, gives you some information that you could not otherwise know. You don't know how sharp that turn is. You've never been around that turn before. You're a driver, you know, you can work the pedals and turn the wheel, but you've never been to that turn before. And so just prudence and good common sense says, evidently somebody else has already driven a car around that turn, and they evidently came to the conclusion for whatever reason. They ran off the road, flipped upside down, three people got killed, or that hasn't happened yet, but because of previous experiences with gradient curves of this nature, to keep your car on the road, you need to slow to 35. You know, the Ten Commandments are just that. Laws that say you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag are advisory signs that tell you that this is good for you, and if you don't do this, there's going to be a consequence. Boys and girls, when you drive your car around that turn, there's going to be a consequence. Doesn't make any difference how fast you drive. You can drive at 10 miles an hour around that 35-mile curve, and you'll get a consequence. You can drive at 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 110, or 300 miles an hour, and there will be an outcome. There will be a consequence that comes from it. Now, fortunately, most of us, you know, if we've got a brain left, we like to live long, long, productive, fun-filled lives. And so I slow down to, you know, 40 anyway, 45, you know, just to be a little on the safe side. Instead of trying that turn, you know, at 75, I'll try it the first time at 45. Now, I might slow to 35, then try it the next time at 40, 45, 50. I mean, I might keep pushing the envelope. But, you know, it's based upon better and better experience and better information each and every time. I would say only a fool would take that 35-mile-an-hour curve at 90 miles an hour first time out just to show how tough he is or how brave he is or, you know, whatever. So the Bible, then, is a guideline. It's filled with laws, rules, and regulations that, you know, pretty sensible laws. Like, thou shalt not steal. Now, that's a pretty sensible law. Because you don't want me to steal your car or steal your wife. You don't want me to commit adultery with your wife. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's a pretty common sense law. Karma, you know, a lot of you guys out there, you talk about karma, you know, what goes around comes around. Karma is just the outcome that comes from certain actions. And out here in the real world, there are certain consequences that occur for certain actions. You know, you practice sodomy, the average lifespan of a sodomite is 45 years. Did you know that? Now, here in America, the average lifespan is 75 and a half years. Average life of a sodomite is 45 years. What's that tell you? Hell, you don't have to be real smart. Now, sodomites also die with another average. If you're a sodomite and you get no AIDS, if AIDS is not in the picture, your average lifespan will be 45. If you're a sodomite and you get AIDS, your average lifespan will be 39. If you're not a sodomite, your average lifespan will be 75 and a half. You know, choice is yours. Did you want to live to be 75, 39, or 45? I don't know. Hell, I ain't here to tell you how long you ought to live. My choice. You know, I just looked at that same problem like everybody else does, and I said, no, I'd prefer to live to be 75 and a half. 85, 90, 110 wouldn't hurt my feelings any. So I elected. I made a choice. I made a conscious choice. I said, I'm going to avoid sodomy. That doesn't mean that all sodomites die at age 45. It says on average they die at 45. Hell, some of them live to be 110. Not as many as those that are non-sodomites, but, you know, just thought I'd pass that on to you. Just a piece of information. Take it for what it's worth. All right, now that being the case, then, in life there are decisions that have to be made, choices that need to be made. And last time we talked about slavery. You know, you want to be a slave? Fine. Hell, it's a choice that you have to make. Want to join the army? Such a choice. You want to get a social security number? That's a choice that you make. You know, you want to fly on an airliner, bend over, spread your cheeks? That's a choice that you make. Now, the good news is that you've got other choices that are available to you. Now, the state typically doesn't tell you this. See, when you're practicing the Barney Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers formula, you don't get a choice. They tell you what's right and they tell you what's wrong. And they say, this is what you should do. For instance, your government, Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, and Barney tell you that you should use paper money. Everybody else does. It's good for us. It's a part of our national economy and do that. Now, there's another guy comes along. We call him God. He says, don't do that. Do not use paper money. Do not use unjust weights and balances. Thou shalt not steal. So there's an exact opposite here, and you got a choice to make. All right. Now, we Americans made our choice, and we decided we wanted paper money. This is back in 1913. A guy by the name of Paul Warburg came over here to the United States, and he was working for the Rothschilds, and they had an agenda. A lot of Americans over here wanted paper money. They wanted banking. And the Rothschilds wanted banking and paper money. They wanted a central bank. And so they lobbied for it. They went to the universities and colleges, and they taught all you people with PhDs and all you people with letters and real smarts that paper money is the best thing for you. This is what you want to do. Now, you had gold and silver. You've been using it for years. You got it in your Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. But for some reason, you decided to make a change, and so you created the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Now, today, in the year 2008, we've got some consequences. Hyperinflation and outsourcing and offshoring of jobs, free trade, and a fiat paper currency, and you're losing your shirt, and you're about to lose your house. You got a crash in housing values. And many of you say, well, it's not caused by paper money. Well, okay. Well, then you figure out what the cause is and then cure it. Doesn't that make sense? If it isn't paper money, then you go figure out what the cause is. Now, maybe you like the price of your house going down 15% a year. I don't know. Hell, if you like it, stick with the program, because that's what's happening. I didn't care much for that. I didn't think that was a good idea. And so years ago, I had choices to make, just like you've got choices to make today, and I made those choices. In many cases, I'm pretty happy with it. Now, I used to practice communism, and my experience with communism was all bad. I never had any good experiences with communism. Maybe you've had better experience than I've had. So I looked at the problem. Here's what I see. I see that there are two business models on planet Earth. I'm a businessman. I see two business models. If you see three, four, or five, tell me what they are, would you? Let me investigate those also. I'm very interested in that. But as far as I can see, there's only two business models. These two business models have 10 elements to them. Here's what these 10 elements are. There are social duties that we have. Social duties. We have economic duties, capacities, and incapacities. We have political capacities, business rights, monetary capacity, property rights, educational duties, health responsibilities, moral duties, and legal responsibilities. It's either social, economic, political, business, monetary, property, education, health, moral, or legal. Now, that's the business model. Now, from the Bible and the Ten Commandments model, which our founding fathers practiced, followed, and incorporated 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution, we practiced that from 1787 to 1933 and became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. Now, in 1913, we began to deviate from it. 1933, we began a rapid deviation. We reached the apex or pinnacle in 1950. From 1950 until I speak today, there has been a gradual and then an accelerating deterioration of our economic and of our social, political, business, monetary, property, education, health, moral, and legal capacities. There has been a deterioration of all of those. So my conclusion is that the former business model that we followed, the Ten Commandments, was better than the second business model that we followed, called the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, which in 1913 calls for a central bank. See, the Ten Commandments calls for gold and silver coin, and the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for a central bank. The central bank calls for paper money or unjust weights and balances. And thou shalt not steal, the eighth commandment calls for thou shalt not steal, just weights and balances, gold and silver coin. I mean, these two principles of law are just exact opposites to one another. When we practice gold and silver, we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. When we practice fiat paper currency, we have now become the world's number one debtor nation and lost our ass. You make the choice here. That's the good news. You got a choice to make, and there's a choice that you can make. Now, most people have been mesmerized into believing that, well, in that case, then, we've got to vote for Ron Paul so that we can change the laws of the United States, so that we can get our gold and silver back, so that we can go back to practicing sound money. And that's false. We don't need Ron Paul as president. Not that that would be a bad idea. We don't need him. You don't need Ron Paul in Russia to practice gold and silver, just weights and balances. You do not need Ron Paul in Brazil. And you people down in South America, you can all practice the Eighth Commandment. You can all practice thou shalt not steal. Right now, today, all by yourself, in your village, in your town, in your city, wherever you live. I do. Works for me. I don't need all the people of Ozark County, Missouri, to practice gold and silver coin. Hell, most of the people in this county couldn't recognize a gold coin if you gave them one. They wouldn't know what the hell it is. Now, that's the good news. You can practice the opposite to the abolition of property and land and the application of all rent of land to public purposes. Now, in Leviticus 25:23, there's a statute that says the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine for your strangers and sojourners with me. Now, in the last program, I said to you, everybody on planet Earth is the chattel property of or a slave or bondservant of a master. There are no free men on planet Earth. Never have been. Isn't now and never will be. The only possible possibility of a free man would be God the Father himself, and he himself has bound himself to his own law. The creator of the universe practices thou shalt not steal. He does not steal from people. He's not a thief. Congress is. Congress will enact laws and then exempt themselves from it. That's hypocrisy. This God is not a hypocrite. He practices his own law. There's no such thing as absolute freedom. And that's license. That's licentiousness. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist on the planet, doesn't exist on any planet, doesn't exist in this universe. Now, we do practice that hypocrisy on planet Earth, but that's coming to an end. And it has a result, and that result's all bad. If you want to practice that all bad practice and get an all bad result, well, go to it. Well, that's part of the choice. That's what free men have to choose. Free men have the power to choose. Now, the creator of the universe has given all of us this capacity to choose. You can choose what master you're going to serve. You can serve the United States Army. You can serve the United States of America. You can serve the creator of the universe. In fact, that guy tells you, you know, this creator, he says, no man can serve two masters. So if you think you can be a soldier in the army and practice the law of God, you got your head up the wrong end there, soldier. You can be religious, you can go to church, and you can take communion, but you cannot practice the law of God in the army. They won't allow it. It ain't going to happen there. You soldiers in the army are not going to practice the Passover or the Feast of Tabernacles in the army. They don't allow that. Now, you can choose Passover and Feast of Tabernacles, but not as a soldier. If you think you can do it, get after it. But you know, your enlistment in the army is going to run out someday. Now, you're instructed that while you're under bondage, serve your master. That's what you signed up for. And what proceeds out of your mouth cannot return again. That's in Numbers chapter 30. A man's word is his bond. Now, you can get out of the army early. I mean, if you wanted to, you can put your mind to it. You can say, you know, this violates the law of God, and I'm going to get out early. You can do that, too. They'll let you out. They'll throw you out. Put your mind to it. But I'm not telling you to do that. I don't know if that's good for you or not. But I'm telling you that the good news is that there's a choice for you to make, and you can make it anytime you want. And it's provided for here in the United States by our Supreme Court and our Congress. I mentioned this to you last time. It's Public Law 97-280 and Seeger versus United States, or it's actually United States versus Seeger, cited at 380 U.S. 163. So the government of the United States is all in favor of you obeying God and keeping His commandments. And they told you that you ought to do that. See? God told you that you ought to obey the Ten Commandments. Congress said you ought to practice the Ten Commandments. And the Supreme Court of the United States says you ought to practice the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, your Congress and your Supreme Court and your president will do everything in their power to dissuade you from doing that. So I suspect that it was God that created Seeger and Public Law 97-280. That's to give you and me and everybody else the opportunity to make that choice. Now, the opposite to slavery is freedom. The opposite to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto is the Ten Commandments. It's a choice that you have to make. Now, I mentioned to you the other day that voting is a guardian ward relationship. When you vote, you're voting for a political guardian. Well, I have a political guardian. It's called the Creator of the Universe. He gave me the Ten Commandments, and he said, you shall have no other gods before me. You practice my law. Remember, I showed you that last time in Leviticus chapter 18. He said, now, obey my laws. Do not obey the laws of Egypt, Texas, or the United States. You practice my law. You practice the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't practice Christmas. All right, now most people aren't going to do that, and I'm not here to tell you what you need to do. I'm here to give you a report in case, you know, you want to make a choice. Because I gave you the bad news last week. Now, the bad news is we're in for an ass-kicking. That's the bottom line, and we're getting it from our Creator. Now, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty, and you people down in New Orleans got the penalty. You want to practice Mardi Gras? Go to it. But you can expect more floods, more hurricanes, more disasters. Less help from FEMA. I mean, come on, you got FEMA down there in New Orleans to help you rebuild, don't you? If that's what you want, stick with the program. But if you want something better, something different, something new, unique, and unusual, then let me suggest the only other alternative that I know of, which is the Ten Commandments, which we Americans practice, you Englishmen practice, you Canadians and Australians practice this in your countries. And then at some point in time, you deviated from that and you went to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Now, take a look at it and ask yourself, is this what you really wanted? Let's take this heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. I teach a school here. It's a five-day school on income tax. Income tax is a tax for slaves. It's not a tax for freemen. Now, if you want to practice a slave tax called the income tax, get after it. Now, your God told you not to do that. And then you said, no, that's what I'm going to do. Well, okay, it's a choice that you made. It's just like when you joined the army. You know, all these people over in Iraq now, all you soldiers over there in Iraq, you chose that. If you got your legs blown off and you got injured over there or killed, hey, that was your choice. You said, I want to serve Satan. I want to serve Baal. I want to serve the United States of America. And you did. Or you are. You can do that. I don't think it's a good choice, but you know, it's your choice to make. So we make these choices, and then we get consequences that come from it. Now, some people are coming back from Iraq, and they've got stress. You know, they've got, they used to call it... battle fatigue. Boys and girls, you can't watch human beings being blown to bits and blood flowing on the streets without psychological scars. So if you're a young person in high school and you think you want to join the Marines and you're going to go over here and cut a fat hog in the back and join the Army and go over here and be a real hero and kill people, let me tell you that you're not designed that way. You can't go out here and kill people and blow people up without having psychological scars. You may come back as a vegetable. And most people that I've talked to that have been into a battle, you know, been into combat, will tell you that they suffer psychological trauma. They've never been the same since from that. So as a result of that, it's a choice that you need to make. And so, you know, when you make that choice and you want to go serve in the Army and you want to go out and kill people and blow people up in one thing and another, well, there's going to be a result that comes from that. So you might want to take that into consideration before, you know, you make that decision. Now, this thing of inflation is a choice that we have made. We Americans have consistently voted for inflation. We vote for inflation every time we use a check or a credit card. Every time that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of thou shalt not steal, and you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, we make a choice. And our choice here in America has been for inflation. And we chose it with Franklin D. Roosevelt with the New Deal in 1933, and he called in all the gold. You people did not vote Roosevelt out in 1936 and vote your gold back in. You have consistently voted for those politicians that have continued the policy of central banks, central bank fiat paper currency, credit cards, credit, debt, usury, from that day to this. Okay, there's an outcome that comes from it. And I don't propose that we're going to change it. I'm not here to overturn the income tax or the Federal Reserve System. The people of America in mass want it. Now, if you're an individual, just one Joe Sixpack, and your conclusion is, I don't want inflation. I don't want fiat paper currency. You can change. Close your bank account. Turn your credit cards back in and start using gold and silver coin. And I teach a class on that one, too. It's our business class. I'll teach you how to drop out of the income tax, not by being a tax protester and being a tax evader and violating the law. Stop having income. Deal in property. Let's go back to property. Let's abandon the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property. And let's go back to practicing property and property rights, which is the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. That's all. It's just that simple. Now, you may need some practical help, some little practical guides, like how do I pay my bills without a checking account? How do I pay the rent? How do I make a living? You know, these are practical considerations. I don't doubt it. In 1900, your granddad or great-granddad, he lived with gold and silver coin without practicing the first plank to the Communist Manifesto. Over time, over the past 100 years, by listening to Barney and Big Bird and Bert and Ernie and Mr. Rogers and going to public school, we have been converted from thou shalt not steal to let's abolish private property. And I contend that with a little practice, we can be converted back from the abolition of private property to gold and silver coin and to property and property rights. If you can learn to be a communist, you can learn to be a non-communist. And that's what our school is all about. And we predicate our fundamental teachings here at the school on the Ten Commandments. If you're opposed to the Ten Commandments, if you're opposed to the Bible and opposed to God, this is not for you. You ought not to come here. I don't deny it. That's why I always tell people, you know, you ought to get our free introductory CD package first. You know, freedom isn't for everybody. Jesus made an observation one day. He said, the poor you have with you always. The poor. Nobody in the Bible that practiced this law was poor. Abraham, the day he died, had at least $175 million in today's monetary terms. $175 million. He wasn't a Bill Gates. He did not have billions, but he did have millions. Very wealthy guy. He passed that on to his boy Isaac, who went out and was in the cattle business also. And he made a lot of money in the cattle business. Cattle's always been pretty good for us Israelites. And we are the world's preeminent breeders of cattle. In Australia, Canada, United States. You just take a look at where the Israelites are. By God, you know, we are cattle, sheep herders. And we're good at it and make a lot of money at it. And as a result of that, you know, you've got a long history to draw from. And if you take a look at our progenitors, those people were filthy rich. Jacob was filthy rich. Judah was filthy rich. You take a look at King David and King Solomon, filthy rich. And take a look at the prophets, you know, guys like Daniel, filthy rich. Joseph, filthy rich. Now, the practice of the Ten Commandments is a modality for making money. The reason that I practice the Ten Commandments doesn't have anything to do with religion, going to church, or taking communion. It has to do with business. It has to do with making money. Pure and simple. If that appeals to you, this is a good program. It appealed to our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. They put a clause in our Constitution. And they said, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, a tender and payment of debt. They didn't put that in there for no good reason. Hell, many of those people were deists. They weren't Christians. I know a lot of people say, well, America's a Christian nation. Well, maybe it was at one time, but it isn't today. I told you, secular humanism is the official religion of the United States. It comes right out of the Supreme Court of the United States. Secular humanism. Evolutionary philosophy has trumped Christianity. I'm not opposed to you Christians. You know, you Christians are fine people, and you're nice guys, and just normal, everyday, ordinary criminals like the rest of us. But, you know, you see yourselves in that light. Hey, listen, you want to do it? Fine. But I think that as a Christian, I think you'll do better if you'll practice thou shalt not steal than you will practicing the abolition of all right to property and land. I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew. You practice the Ten Commandments, and you'll make more money than you will practicing the Ten Planks of the Communist Manifesto. That was my experience. That's been my observation. I'm an old man. I've been watching people for years. And what I see is the people that practice the laws of God, the 15 economic laws in the Bible, the guys that practice that set of laws make more money. And Bill Gates practices those laws. That's why he's filthy rich. Oh, he may advocate communism. I'm not saying that he doesn't. But the filthy rich people, they practice the principles of property and property rights because that's where money comes from. And the people that don't practice property and property rights stand in line to share the shortage. And that's where you people are today, standing in line to share the shortage. Let's wake up and smell the coffee. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in 112 countries worldwide over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, what we're talking about here is good news. It's how to change from being a communist to being a common law freeman. And that's what the good news is. There's a choice to be made. That choice is guaranteed by your government. Typically, it's guaranteed in our country by the First Amendment. First Amendment guarantees you the right to free exercise of religion. Now, most of you people have that in China, and you have that in Russia. You can't exercise it because you're practicing criminal behavior. Let me give you an illustration. I saw a piece the other day on PBS. We're talking about Christians in China and how the Christian church in China is being persecuted by the communist government. The common belief is that Christians are the chosen people of God and that they are practicing the laws of God and the Ten Commandments and all of it. The truth of the matter is they don't. Christians practice Christmas. Now, the Bible and the Creator, he practices Feast of Tabernacles, and Christmas is a counterfeit. So the communist government, which is anti-religion, that's their official position, we're anti-religion, are opposed to Christian philosophy. They've got an official Christian church. You can belong to the official communist state Christian church. Okay. Now, if you don't want to belong to that church, then you're going to belong to a counterfeit Christian church. That's what the government sees it. And you're practicing, you know, Christmas, Easter, New Year's. So here's what your problem is. You're in violation of the law of China, and you're in violation of the Creator of the universe. You are, you Chinese Christians, giving the finger to both gods at the same time. That doesn't make sense. You should make peace with one god or the other, and then face the reality of the other god at some time in the future. I mean, I'll just common sense tell you that. Now, over in Iraq, the Christians over there are being persecuted by the Muslims. In fact, there was a piece on 60 Minutes the other night, and Scott Pelley was interviewing an Episcopal priest over in Baghdad, and he said that the Christians are faring much worse today under American occupation than they did under Saddam Hussein. Well, okay. But the Anglican Church is not practicing the laws of the Bible, the laws of the Creator of the universe, the laws of the Creator God. They're practicing the laws of a God. They have a God. They have a religion, no doubt about it. And so the Creator of the universe is not protecting those people from their enemies, the Muslims. And so the Muslims, you know, they got their God, Allah, is at war now with the God of the Christians. And that God is not the same God as the God of the Scripture. And you can tell that. And you can tell that from the Scripture. And Jesus asked this question in Luke 6:46. It's a rhetorical question. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Hey, listen, kids, we can follow the laws of Jesus. We can do what Jesus tells us. Let me give you an illustration here. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's a direct citation from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 from the Old Testament. See, the Christians will tell you, do not listen to the Old Testament. It's abolished and done away with. Jesus didn't know that. Jesus didn't believe that. Jesus didn't teach that. He taught the exact opposite. So that tells you a little something right there. That what you learn in Christian church is the exact opposite from the Scripture. And that's a choice for you to make. And if you want to believe it and practice it, get after it. I'm not here to change it. I'm just here to tell you that there's going to be an outcome that comes from that. And that outcome is going to be bad. It's going to be like New Orleans. That's a bad outcome. It's going to be a bad outcome. Like the communists are going to come down on you Christians in China and destroy you. Or the Muslims in Iraq are going to come down on you Christians and they're going to kill you. And the God of heaven is not going to protect you. The God of heaven, that is the creator. You know, the creator of Adam and Eve, the guy that said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and you shall have no other gods before me. That's the God I'm telling you about. Okay. He's not going to protect you from the hurricanes. He's not going to protect you from the Muslims. In fact, he's going to use the hurricanes and the Muslims to punish you and to destroy you. And that was the bad news I gave you last week. Remember that? He said, I'm going to destroy you. Well, that doesn't sound good to me. So, you know, you got a choice to make here, and I'm going to make another suggestion. I teach a school here called the Mosaic Law. And in the Mosaic Law, there are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And I know somebody's writing me a letter saying, no, there's 613. I got it right from the Jews. Well, the Jews are right. There are 613 laws of the Bible. Now, you're a little bit short. There's some more. And if you add in the ones that you're short there, you'll come up with 759. And there could be 784. I might have missed some. The Jews missed some. I found some that they missed. I'm up to 759. Now, in the judgment, God might say, no, Gordon, you got that wrong. It was 786. I don't know. And I'll say, well, gee, boss, show me the rest of them. Now, there's 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, and they're all predicated upon the Ten Commandments. For instance, we got a commandment here, and it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then we got a law that says, there shall not be a sodomite found among the sons of Israel. So sodomy is an adultery crime. So when we look up sex crimes, which you'll find all of the sex crimes are located in Leviticus 18. You'll find that there are a number of statutes that deal with that commandment that says thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a bunch of sex crimes. Now there's a law that says thou shalt not steal. That's an economic law. There's 15 economic laws. 15 of them. Now if you'll practice those economic laws, you'll make money. If you practice those sex laws, you won't get AIDS, herpes, or VD. If you practice the sex laws of the scripture, you will not get any sexually transmitted diseases. How's that for a plan? Now, there's 10 commandments, and all 10 of those commandments are broken down into a number of statutes. And those statutes are divided up into 133 titles of law. Now, the United States Code is divided up into 50 subject matters or 50 titles. There are thousands and thousands of statutes within those 50 titles. In the Bible, there's 133 subjects, and there's only 759 statutes. I mean, total. I mean, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, runs the whole damn universe on 759 laws. Did you know that? Hell, here in the United States, we can't even run our traffic code on 759 laws. We all have over 2,000 in every state in the Union. You got more than 2,000 traffic laws. Did you know that? You can't even run your traffic, for crying out loud, on the number of laws. God can run the entire traffic system of the world. When he comes back, he's going to run the entire world. You're going to have a traffic system. You're going to have cars. You're going to have to drive on one side of the road or the other. And he's going to run the whole damn thing on these 759 laws. Can you believe that? Yeah, take a look at the criminal code. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. I mean, you know, this guy, God, he can say more in four words than the Congress can say in four volumes. Hell, Congress takes books and books and books to spell out your tax code. God said, you shall not forsake the Levite that's within your gates. There's your income tax code. You shall not forsake the Levite that's within your gates. All right, like I said, this God, he can say more than four words than Congress can say in four volumes. Very simple, straightforward, and you can make this choice anytime you want. Now, here's the problem that you face, and I don't deny it. I'm not going to deny it. Most of you people out there, you cannot become common law freemen because you don't know what the law is. You don't know what the law of common law freemen is, so you can't practice it. I mean, that's just, you know, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. Now, good news is there's a school here in the United States of America, and we run a correspondence program. I send schools off all over the world. If you want to learn how to be a common law free man in China, you can do that in China. You can practice the law of the universe in China. And the Chinese government will recognize it, and the God of heaven will guarantee it. Guarantee it. Now, I showed you that little bit of good news here. Let me show you that again. In Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, first 13 verses. Remember that? This is a personal guarantee from the creator of the universe, live and direct. Now, here's the guy says, you do this, here's what I'm going to do in response. Let's suppose you're a Chinaman and you're living in Beijing. And here's your creator. He says, you shall make no idols of the communist government, nor graven images in Tiananmen Square, and neither shall you rear up a standing image, and neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, because I'm the eternal your God. You practice the first commandment there, Mr. Chinaman, Mr. Japanese man. First commandment. Do not practice the law of China. Do not practice the law of Japan. You practice the law of the creator. Now, what does he say he'll do for you? He says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary because I'm the eternal. I'm sure that China recognizes Sunday. And your creator says, don't you practice Sunday, you practice Saturday. And I'm sure that you people in China and Japan and all over the world, you've got certain holidays and holy days and sacred time over here guaranteed by your government. You stop practicing that and you practice these annual holy days and Sabbaths of the creator of the universe. And you can get away with it in China. You can get away with that in Japan. You can get away with that in Canada, the United States. You can do that in Texas. I'm not pulling your leg here. You can get away with it. You can get away with it because you're guaranteed this by the creator of the universe. Let me tell you a little story here. There was a guy by the name of Daniel. And this guy, Daniel, was a prince. And the king that he was prince to was taken into captivity by a dictator by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, brought Daniel and all of the royal families, you know, of the nation, Judah, that they conquered, over to Baghdad. Actually, it took him over to Iraq. It was called, I had a name for this town I was thinking about. I'll think about it here in a minute. And they told this guy, Daniel, that here's the king's meat. And Daniel would not eat the king's food. Evidently, the king was serving, you know, oysters, Rockefeller, lobster tail, and ham and eggs for breakfast, and he wouldn't eat it. He said, no, sir. And so Nebuchadnezzar's servant said, now listen, you can't offend the king here by not eating the king's food. I mean, it'd be like, you know, eating at Queen Elizabeth's table, and you say, well, this is wonderful. Thank you very much, Queen Elizabeth, for inviting me to dinner, but I don't eat oysters, Rockefeller. And I don't eat lobster tail, and I don't eat ham. I'm a Hebrew, and I practice the law of Moses, and I don't eat unclean food. Now, Queen Elizabeth is a Christian, and she eats unclean food, and I'm sure that she'll serve it to you, but I wouldn't eat it. And Daniel didn't eat it. And as time went on, Daniel got crosswise with some of the political forces of the day. He was not politically correct. And so the ultimate outcome was he was thrown into a lion's den, and the lions didn't eat him. And that's because an angel sent by the creator of the universe protected Daniel because Daniel practiced the law of God. Well, let me make a statement. Everybody who practices this law lives to be 70 years old. Everybody. No exceptions. There's two exceptions to that rule. Jesus lived to be 33 and a half, and John the Baptist lived to be 33, probably 33 and a half. Both of them died before they were 70. Both of them were earmarked to die before they were 70. Nobody else has ever had that happen to them. And that's because it's against the law. So if you want to live to be 70 years old, not 75 or 80 or 110 or 140, you were never guaranteed 140 years of life. I'm sorry, all you vegetarians out there. That is not the terms and conditions of the contract. 70. 70, 25,550 days. Now, it's true you might live longer than that, but you will not live one day less than that practicing this law. That's the good news. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do that law, we teach that all 759 statutes, 133 titles of law, those 10 commandments. I'll show you how to do that. Nobody's going to kill you. Now, if you're a Christian in Baghdad, you know you're walking on thin ice. And I don't think that I'd run around telling people that I'm a Christian. And that's because Jesus wasn't a Christian. Yeah, I'm sorry to report that to you, but that's the facts of life. And Jesus was not a Christian, and Jesus did not practice Christian theology. Christian theology comes from Mithraism. Roman Catholicism is an outgrowth of Mithra, the god Mithra. And that's what Christianity is all about. You people practicing Christmas, Easter, New Year's, you're practicing sun worship. You Christians are practicing sun worship, the worship of the sun. And that's why the Muslims are killing you. And that's why your creator, the creator of the universe, is opposed to you. That's why he brings hurricanes on you and tsunamis. That's why we're facing this great tribulation, all this bad news. All right, that's just my report, giving you that report. Now, if you stop doing that, which you can stop anytime you want, then that won't happen to you anymore. Now, here in Leviticus 26, it gives you a little bit more goodness here. Listen to this. Starting in verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they have trespassed against me, that you're practicing communists, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, that is, you will not practice the Ten Commandments, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into this land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while the land lies desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, because their soul abhorred my statutes. Hey, you people out in California, got these thousand fires running out there? You people will not practice the land Sabbath. And because you won't practice the land Sabbath, your land is being turned into desolation right in front of your eyes. When you get tired of that, when you finally get enough, and when you accept of the punishment of your iniquity, well, then God will say, okay, hey, I don't hate you, but your conduct is unacceptable. And your Christmas, your Easter, your New Year's, your sodomy, your Mardi Gras is unacceptable behavior. That's the bottom line. Your Christian criminality is unacceptable behavior. And I'm going to walk contrary unto you until you wake up and smell the coffee. Now, you have not had enough fires out there yet, and you have not had enough drought out there yet, but you're going to. You're going to. And you people in the Midwest, you have not had enough water yet, but you're going to. And that's the good news. When you get your belly full of that, you can change anytime you want. And when you do, you'll get a positive result. And you'll make a lot of money in the process. Now, I'm about out of time again, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can all be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.